Abundant Life Church. How are you? I hope you're as happy to be here as I am. And something special about the Lord's Day and to be able to celebrate and worship together here and wherever you're watching. We're connected this morning. Well, this past year has been different than any other year in my lifetime and probably yours. I want to talk to you this morning about something that has evaporated in this past year, something that has diminished this past year. In this past year, we've had more than enough frustration and disappointment and confusion, anger, stress, and distress, even grief. So many things have come against each of us and all of us within the past year, a pandemic and so many other things that have been affected in the quality of our life. I'm so glad Jesus is Lord. That's the only hope we have. And in this past year, so many people have contended for their faith until there is contention fatigue. So many just tired of contending. And there's one thing, though, that has diminished this past year, even though it should not ever be diminished in the life of a Christian. And that is, I don't see much joy in the past year. A couple of members of our church, I won't call their names because we have had many and we still right now presently have several families that are dealing with the virus. And one couple in our church, husband and wife, have been at home sick and suffering with COVID. And the wife especially has been dealing with a fever for several days of about 104. Gone to the doctor, he sent them back home, as many of us have done. But I spoke to the husband on the phone just two or three days ago, and he shared this testimony with me. He said, Carl, it's been so long, it seems like forever. But God gave me a glimmer of hope, he said, last night when I went to bed. Still his wife with a high fever and him sick as well. And he said, the verse that came to my mind as I went to bed last night is this verse found in Psalm 30 and verse 5, which says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And he said, when I woke up the next morning, for the first time in several days, my wife's fever had broken and it was normal. Joy comes in the morning. Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. There are sometimes I'm not happy and I have reason not to be. Because happiness is determined by outward circumstances. And they change, and sometimes we have no control over outward circumstances. But joy for the believer comes from deep down on the inside, where our spirit is. And our spirit is one with the Holy Spirit who supplies the joy. So few Christians expect or enjoy joy. There was a Roman Catholic nun many years ago. She was raised in the Catholic Church and joined the convent, became a nun, committed her life to serving God in the best way she knew how as a Catholic. And in her adult life, she had a radical, transformative, life-changing experience when she met the Lord. She was exuberant and ecstatic because she didn't know that was possible given her limited experience. And here's what she said about the experience of meeting the Lord. She said, "It's strange, but I had never before associated God with joy." Now, we have always known better than that. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent his disciples out, and the crowd had grown to 70 by this time. He sent them out two by two, and he gave them instruction what to do in their travels and ministering. And they came back to him. The Bible says they came back rejoicing. And they said to him, "We have healed the sick in your name. We have cast out devils in your name. We've had successful ministry in your name." And Jesus replied to them, "Don't rejoice in your successful service, but rejoice because you were rightly related to me." And as long as that is the truth for me and for you, we have biblical reason and the Holy Spirit supplier to enjoy joy and to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we're promised joy even when there is no external cause for rejoicing. Some of us are that way today. You look at this or that or the other. You look at doctor's report, your bank report, whatever may be going on in your life and in your world, and you may not be able to see any natural reason to rejoice. But we're promised joy even when circumstances don't bring us happiness. And I've seen a depletion of joy in the church, not just inside these four walls, but in the body of Christ at large. Life has taken a toll and it has cost us some joy, and I don't like it. Now, here's my testimony always. Some people have a cup half full, some people have a cup half empty. Hey, it's the same cup. Just how you look at it. And my testimony always, my cup is always at least half full. I can find reason to be joyful in the Lord, regardless of circumstances. He gives that to us freely. And sometimes I even feel like David, the psalmist, not only was his cup always half full, but there was one time he said, "My cup runs over." So my cup is always at least half full, and sometimes my cup runs over. Yeah. Now in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, it says, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I'm saying to you this morning, joy and the Holy Spirit go together. Yeah. The Holy Spirit brings joy among other fruit and gifts into our lives. And so you really can't have one without the other. Read the scripture. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So if you've been born again, the new birth by the Spirit of God, you should expect some joy in your life. I'm tired of going without as much joy as God's promised me. And you, for all of us. Listen to just what some scriptures say about joy and rejoicing. By the way, it's mentioned over 440 times in Scripture. Psalm 5:11, those that put their trust in you will rejoice. I think sometimes we make the mistake of putting our trust in something else. And however misguided we might be in doing so, we're innocent in it. It's easy to put more stock in the doctor when you're sick than even in the Lord. And there have been times, and I'm grateful when doctors have given good reports and it was a time to rejoice over a good report. But the kind of joy I'm talking about today is even when the doctor doesn't give a good report, there's still the joy of the Lord that's a benefit to every believer if we were aware of it. Psalms 16:11, David said, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." I'm just saying, if you have run low on joy for your life, find yourself in the presence of God. Now, I'm not going to assume I can do this. I'm not even going to try. It's against the law anyway right now. But even if it wasn't, I'm not going to lay my hands on you and give you joy. I might could, but we can't get close enough for that. Don't need to. Each of us must take responsibility and own it for our own self. I need to find the joy for myself in the presence of the Lord. And so do every one of you. The Bible says, Psalm 97:1, "The Lord reigns, so let the earth rejoice." Rejoice. Psalm 89:15, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound." Psalm 126:5, "They that sow in tears will reap in joy." Now, that's a legitimate promise right there. There have been many tears shed in this past year. Many, for many reasons. But for the believer, a tear is like a seed. You put it into the kingdom of God, and just a matter of time, you will reap from that tear as a seed you've sown. And you will reap it in joy. I'm telling you, weeping may endure for a night. The Bible says it will. But joy comes in the morning. Luke 10:21, it says this, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit." I think the problem that we have many times in walking in all the joy that we should is we have the order inverted. We are spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. Sometimes we will flip the top two, if not all three. Joy is an emotion. Therefore, it does affect the soul. The emotions is the realm of the soul, our thoughts, our mind process. How we think. That's why once we're born again, we're saved. The top one is settled forever. We're saved. We're born again. But then God gives us His Word and His Spirit to help us retrain our soul, which is our mind and our emotions. But a lot of believers this past year have let their emotions rule over their spirit instead of the way it ought to be, and that is the spirit ruling over our soul, which includes our emotions. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul said it again, "I say rejoice," all in one verse. Rejoicing is an instruction in Scripture. It's not just something we can do if we want to. It's a mandate in Scripture. We're told to rejoice in the Lord half the time. Rejoice in the Lord if this goes right over here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In John 15:11, listen to the promise Jesus made. These words are written in red. He told His disciples, "These things I have spoken to you that My joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Powerful words, and they're a promise from the Lord Himself. "I've spoken My word that My joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." And then in the next chapter, John 16:22, Jesus said, "Your joy no one will take from you." So if you've lost your joy, it's on you. If I've lost my joy, it's on me. Jesus said, nobody can take it, the joy that he gives. Paul reminded us in Romans that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is built of, righteousness, our right standing with God, and his peace and his joy. And Galatians tells us in the fruit of the Spirit, they start with love and joy and peace. I mean, joy is right there between love and peace. Joy is right there between love and peace. Now, I want to say some things that are just simply obvious. This past year has weakened many in the church. I'm grateful for the praise team taking us to warfare this morning. I mean, it was worship, but we warred in worship this morning. And the people of God, especially in the past year, for so many reasons, have lost so much of their joy that we have been left weakened. Well, give me a scripture on that, Carl. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if we don't have strength, it's because our joy has been diminished. Imagine the church, which is to be the church triumphant, which is to be the church, especially in the latter days, that's the brightest force in the dark world that there is. But just imagine the possibility that the church being puny and pitiful and weak. And if it's that way ever, it's because we have lost the joy of the Lord, because that is our strength. If you feel weak today, regain some joy. Get in the presence of God. Get into his word. Jesus said, I speak my word so that your joy may remain in you. And nobody can take it from you. If you lose it, it's your fault. He might as well have said that. And we've allowed joy to dissipate. It's happened subtly. It didn't happen all at one day. Now, for some, it did. I'm thinking of people right now who got the news, a horrible, life-changing, devastating news, and it seemed that joy was sucked out of their life all at once. But for most of us, it's a gradual thing, and it just happens over time, and if we don't guard our joy, then it will disappear, and we really weren't aware that we're weak now because we never saw our joy leaving. We just chalked it up to, well, it's life. It's like gravity. It's pulled us down. It's been a heck of a year. Nothing's gone right. Everything's gone wrong. I have a reason not to have joy. The Bible does not give any Christian a reason not to have joy. Now, let me give you a shocker. It is possible not to lose your salvation and still lose your joy. Now, I don't want to live like that. I don't think God intended for Christians to live like that. But it is possible you can lose your joy and still be saved. I'll give you a scripture on that. David felt that way. Some things had happened. He shot his own self in the foot. He was human, just like all of us, but he lost joy. And in Psalm 51:12, David cried out to the Lord. Some of us might need to cry out like he did. And he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Now, David did not ask God, give me my salvation back, because he didn't lose his position in the Lord, but he did lose his joy and begged God to restore that to him. We can remain secure in our salvation. I'm a firm believer in that. And still lose our joy. It's time to check the joy meter. See how full our tank is. And if we are running low on joy, let's realize God never intended that for us. He has a better plan for us. And he's provided the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we should have joy. Because his disciples were filled with both at the same time. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And then after so long, David said in Psalm 85:6, prayed to God, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" Boy, there needs to be joy in the camp. Remember that song? Joy in the camp. Always. I know. I ain't talking about happiness. And for me to really be happy, I don't need to have a pain, a lack. I don't need to be a short on anything. Happiness comes to us when circumstances are to our liking. On the outward. So every day's not that way. But every single day since the day we met the Lord, we have a biblical mandate and every right to be filled with joy, to be joyful and rejoicing. And I'm sort of wired that way anyway. I'm just wanting to be restored in my joy. And I want it for all of God's people who've had a shortage of joy recently. Now, God's people need a revival of joy. Will you not revive us again? I mean, the word here today, it can change the way we live our week this week. Just get determined. I'm going to rejoice today. Instead of whine, complain, and wait it out without joy, I'm going to replenish joy. I'm going to ask the Lord to revive me with rejoicing again and restore back to me the joy that's been lost. I'm telling you, you got to do it for yourself. I got to do it for me. Now, sometimes we have to receive joy by faith. Don't discount that. By faith. That's the way we receive everything. We receive salvation by faith. We receive healing by faith. We receive deliverance by faith. And we receive joy by faith sometimes. If that's the only just God, I thank you. My faith is high. My trust in you is at an all-time high. I believe you're going to come to me and restore the joy that's been lost in my life because of this or that or the other. Faith is trusting God without evidence. Before the evidence comes, you just know God's going to come through. And so that's what faith is. You trust him in advance. And then joy sometimes is challenged in our life by temptations and trials. And there is a difference between a trial and a temptation. And neither one of them are good. But there is a difference. I heard our beloved Bishop Houston Miles say one time, and I've quoted him many times, that God uses a trial to prove your faith. The devil uses a temptation to prove your lack of faith. So both God and the devil can be involved in the same circumstance, one for good and one for evil. Temptation, though, comes from within, usually the flesh. I mean, we blame the devil for all of it, and he's involved, but usually temptation comes from our flesh within. But trials usually come from the outside. Temptation usually attacks a weak spot. Trials come to test our strength and to prove us. And so, if you've been dealing with trials and temptations, and haven't we all for quite a while now, then it's only natural, I said natural, not spiritual, only natural that our joy has been diminished because of trials and temptations. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I mean, I'd like enough joy that I could do that. I see a temptation or a trial, and instead of saying, oh, God, OMG, start rejoicing. Now, I know that's wacko, and I would never think of that myself. I would never within myself suggest that you do that. But that's what God says to do. When you see a trial coming your way, count it all joy. That word count means consider it and to value it highly. Boy, I don't know if I normally have that much joy or not. But if we're walking in the Spirit and walking in the Word, which brings light, keeps us from stumbling, then when we see a trial coming our way, we realize immediately this is the test of my faith, and God is involved in this to the degree that He wants my faith to be proven. And so I'm going to rejoice over this trial I see coming. I know, crazy, can't handle it in your natural mind. That's why the soul, your natural mind, must be ruled by the Spirit. The Spirit rules over the soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and then both of those together rule over our body or our flesh. To consider a trial when it's coming. Well, here's an opportunity for me to have joy. Well, I think I'm going to start rejoicing right now. Well, I see somebody's up to something bad and at my expense, but I'm going to rejoice over this. I'm going to look at this trial coming, and I'm going to consider it something of high value. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Now, I know we have to get out of our mind and get into the Spirit. We certainly can't be drug around by every thought that shoots through our head. We've got to let the Spirit rule the soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's got to be lined up just right. And then Paul said this. Now, wait, it's in the Bible, honestly. The Bible has to be true because no fiction writer could have the imagination to put all of this stuff in that would simply not work under any circumstances were it not for the power of God that works His Word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7, 4, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. If I were to ask for hands raised, if you've been through any tribulation lately, trials and temptation, if I put a timeline on it, I heard in the news, I think it was this week, 1 year ago this week, 1 year ago, the first case of coronavirus was detected in America. It's been a year. And if I were to ask, how many of you have had any trials and tribulations in the last year? Well, if you got two hands, you'd raise both of them probably, all of us. I could tell the ushers, count the hands and divide by two. That'll tell you how many people we got in here right now. Because everybody would raise both hands. It's been that kind of a year. It has challenged our joy, and it has destroyed much of it. Even on an individual level, not to mention the collective and the corporate body of Christ. I mean, it's time to restore the joy that's been lost. David prayed for that, and God did it for him. And then even in the middle of this, we don't have to wait until it all goes away and they say it's over now to have our joy back. Paul said, I'm exceedingly joyful, exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Well, it takes maturity to do that. Joy is finding value in the struggle, trusting God more than ever if necessary, even while the struggle is going on. Many times we have stumbled into the snare of trials and tribulations, and we've missed this kind of joy in it. We've missed the extreme joy that's available even in the middle of a trial and a tribulation. I'm not saying a message today that, okay, I'll be glad when all of this is over and things get back to normal so we can get a modicum of our joy back. No. I'm saying God says we can be exceedingly joyful right now in the middle of all this tribulation. We're God's people. I'm going to close telling a story of a lady who found this kind of joy, walked in it. She was an older lady, a mature saint of God. She had served the Lord since childhood. And every day it seemed she fell in love more with the Lord. Every year was more precious than the previous year in her walk with the Lord. Now, she was not exempt from trials and temptation and tribulation in her long lifetime. But now, at her golden years, after a lifetime of serving God, a trial happened in her life, another one. It was a test for her, and here's how she was able to handle it. Somebody talked to her about it and said, you know, I'm sorry that you're going through such a season of tribulation in your life. And this seasoned Christian lady responded, oh, I've been walking with the Lord so long now, I can hardly tell the difference between a trial and a blessing. How about that? Paul said, I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. This old lady said, I've been walking with the Lord for so long now, I can hardly tell the difference between a trial and a blessing. So either way, whether it's a trial or a blessing, God can allow us to have all the joy we need, and that brings all the strength we need to get through it. Stand up, if you will. I want you to put this word to work this week. I mean, do it on the way home. Just adjust whatever in your heart needs to be adjusted and open yourself up for restoration of joy. David lost all of his joy and asked God to restore it, and the Lord did. Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord that reaches us. It brings hope to us. It is life. It is life, and it is health even to our flesh. So we release now this word, and we pray that you will take it and accomplish everything you've sent it to do, that it would not return empty-handed back to you, but it would accomplish your purpose in each of our lives. I speak a refilling of joy, a restoration of joy, a revival of joy in the house of God and beginning in every home of every believer in Jesus' name. Lord, even in our worst of times, our life is much better because you're with us than it would be on our best of times without you in our life. So we trust you to restore back to us so much that the enemy has stolen. This past year, he's tried his best to steal and to kill and to destroy, but in the middle of saying that to your people, you also said, but I'm here and I've come to give you abundant life, and that includes fullness of joy. And we decide today that we're going to rejoice in the Lord always. And I bless the people of God today, those who are here in the sanctuary and those who are worshiping from their homes or wherever they might be. Blessing, and may the joy of the Lord be with you. Thank you for worshiping with us at Abundant Life. We bless you to have a great week. I'll see you next Sunday.